Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
Greetings, hello listeners. My name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, we warned everybody. We told them, Novato, watch out. Scary game.
Yeah, and they were right. Holy smokes.
We were correct about being nervous about the Nevada Wolfpack. Listen, we didn't play it for no reason. We played, if you turn your back on them, if you get a 15-point lead and think that it's in the bag, it's not in the bag.
I don't think
you're the one about to be in the bag.
I don't think we turned our back on them, though, is the sad thing. Like, they were just, they were better than us. The only thing I'll say is that it was our B team, and our B team almost beat a Mountain West team, but it still sucks that we lost.
Well, 9 of 22 starters were hurt, 2 offensive linemen.
Our 2 best offensive players.
2 best offensive players, the 2 best defensive player. And it turns out, Tosh, that if you play without your 2 best offensive players and your 2 best defensive players, you're not as good.
That's what this case study would show so far.
And I am surprised at how shocked everyone seems to be at having lost to Nevada. We warned you folks, right? And I wasn't shocked at the result of that game. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
But It didn't catch me off guard.
I was more shocked when he jumped out on top of him so early.
I was really shocked with that. So a lot of focus going in right now on, 3 straight losses for the Cougars and people trying to figure out why that is. But we've already mentioned, right? I mean, the 9 big injuries. You've had a ton of guys miss games this year, people who may or may not be coming back. For heaven's sakes, Nate Carter was the big, rushing threat for the Cougars.
And oddly enough, I felt
he did well, though.
I felt like they should have ran him more towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, after he had that fumble, I don't think he got a touch again. The fumble that he fumbled out of bounds.
Right.
He never got a touch again, and he was picking up good yards per carry. But
yeah.
Anyway, just a weird game.
So lots of injuries.
We were throwing the ball around.
So, but Tosh, is it fair to criticize at this point? Is it so? There's a lot of heat flying around, right? Lots of people calling for or evaluating the coaches. Do you think it's fair to evaluate or come after coaches when nearly 50% of the starting team is out?
I'm under the mindset that fans can question whatever they dang well want.
Yeah, okay. I'm on board with that.
What I will say, though,
is it fair, though? You can question it, but is it fair?
It needs to be part of the thought. It needs to be brought up in their thoughts and in the arguments. But I think that, yeah, it's just all part of everything. If we're going to lose 3 games, 2 of which to Mountain West Conference teams, I'm fine with the coaches feeling a little bit of heat from the fan base on that.
Before the season began, we said anytime they finish at 8 wins, there's going to be little talks about it. But 7 wins, it starts to become, you should maybe get serious about that, okay? It's very possible this team's going to finish with 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
Like, extremely possible that that's going to happen, right? And I guess what I want to do is let's start on the guy that there seems to be the least amount of heat on, and that is Robert Anai, Robert and I, a lot of people kind of questioning some of the things he does. You know, the obvious draws on third and longs. There's just things that have been a little bit goofy. But at the same time, they got over 600 yards total offense. And they scored every time they made it to the red zone.
And I would say, you know, when we had, before he lost his starting quarterback and starting running back, he was undefeated. And the offense looked pretty great when he had the players going into the season he thought he was going to have.
Okay, so I'm on board with that. I think Dr. Anai has always done a nice job, even before. Like, when we let him go the first time, I was even sort of like, what are we doing?
Where I'm at with him, I think on I'm always such a numbers guy. So, and I have actually a new, instead of 1 to 10, I actually have a new scale. I prefer negative 5 to 5. Because then, hear me out here, because then there's a 0. And it's just, I think it's better. So on the negative 5.
But this one has 11. That's what.
On the negative 5 to 5 scale, I give Dr. Robert and I think that he's a 2.
Yeah, okay.
And that he's good. He's not incredible. But I think that so far this year, I don't put any of the losses
since
on
he's a
him.
Doctor, maybe we should use the pH scale.
I'm not a doctor, so I don't feel comfortable with that scale.
Is he more basic or acidic right now? Okay, so you have him at a 2 on your funky scale.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, I think he's really good. I mean, I think that the all-time leader in rushing played for Robert and I, right? I mean, one of the very best, most, lots of success. The best two receivers played, right, for an eye. So I just think that it's a little bit, the best three receivers, I think.
Even. And last and time he left, we got worse offensively.
Right.
I don't think there's anyone that's really going to argue that.
So I don't mind him. In fact, though, if you were asking me, I would say that I wish that we were doing air raids still.
Agreed.
I think...
I wish
with
we
tempo,
used,
you can do it with tempo, but I kind of like
used
the
more multi-wide receiver sets. But here, my
you've been hoping for an empty backfield all year, hasn't
exactly,
happened yet.
Exactly. The other thing that I would say is that sometimes he uses his personnel questionably, and a couple examples of that would be like the multiple screen passes to Mitch Matthews.
Yeah.
The other one that was this last game, that kind of extended option with Taron Hook.
Yeah, like Taron Hauk.
Yeah, I always say his name wrong, both.
Yeah.
That guy was not, even when he was healthy, he's not someone that we should be using in that position. And especially he's coming off an injury. He didn't look right. And sure enough, he fumbles the ball.
Right.
Like, that's not his strength. He's not fast.
Right.
Anyway, so that would be the thing that I would question. Sometimes it's almost like a know your personnel type
you've
thing.
You've got Blackmon. You've got Juergens. You've got Dye.
Yeah.
You've got Keanu.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, my guy, Keanu, he's contributing
his
more
best
and more.
Game.
He's contributing more
it
and
was
more.
Quite small still, but it was still his best game.
I love him. Touchdown.
Didn't I don't he? Remember his touchdown. But
yeah, I think he scored the only touchdown in the second half. Yeah.
All right.
It was a pass. Slant. He got
down. Oh, you're right. You are right. Yep, you are right. Great. It was a great pass, great catch.
Yeah, no, I started singing All Right Now for him so he could feel like he was at Stanford. okay, so I'm with you. I'm on board. I'm fine with Robert and I.
So let's move to the next coach.
So the guy getting the most heat now is Nick Howell. And I've written a piece defending him, and the editors on Vanquish chose to kind of focus more on the numbers with Nick Howell. And I wrote with numbers, and I kind of gave numbers to support him. But ultimately, that wasn't the main argument I was making about Nick Howell. And before we get too far into that, like, what's your opinion of Nick Howell?
So he's definitely getting the most heat. And to go with that fact, like, during the game, I had not just one, but multiple people texting me, asking me if I thought he was going to be demoted after that game.
Right.
And then I said no. And then they're saying they were guaranteeing he'll be demoted after the season.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, actually. But that doesn't mean that
I don't
I've
think
not...
that you can demote him. I think you either fire him and cut ties with him, I don't think that you can look back at him and say, so,
you want to move back to be this
special teams coordinator again? Like, do you want to, like, you can't, or even co-defensive coordinator? So,
and here's my defense of why he won't get demoted soon, or I don't even think after this year. One is that he too is dealing with a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
It's his first year as a defensive coordinator. Did we really expect him just to be as good as Bronco?
Well, Bronco's got 16 years of calling defensive plays.
The other side of things is that even looking at last game and the last couple of games, the games that really are getting fans fired up, the offense gave turnovers and gave the defense a really impossible task of short fields on multiple of their scoring possessions.
So my stat for that, against UCF and against Nevada, the Cougars had leads of 2 touchdowns or more, so 15-point and a 14-point lead. So 2 touchdown lead, second half, right? And when the Cougars had that 2 touchdown lead in the second half, they faced 11 drives from their opponents in those scenarios.
Okay.
6 of them came on BYU's side of the field, so with 50 yards or less.
And so that to me, that's not on Hal.
And they scored 36 points on those 6 short drives. So short fields. So all I'm saying with that is it's hard to defend on a short field. Lots of teams surrender points on short fields, right? They haven't gotten any favors from special teams or from the offense with turnovers when it comes to short fields. And, basically, you want to figure out how to lose a game when you're up by 2 touchdowns in the second half?
Turn it over
and give the other team short fields.
Exactly. And if we really look at the Nevada game, so we have the short fields off of turnovers we talked about. We have positions where the players just didn't make the play. We have the
contain.
Mike Davis with perfect coverage and just misses the ball, and the guy catches it for a touchdown. We have the play where number 22 and Kafusi miss the sack.
Manoah Pakula.
And Fajardo's doing spin moves and juking our guys and then throws the touchdown.
Yep. And then the scramble. He ran the scramble to the right-hand side. There was no contain there.
Is that on Howell? Some of it, I'm fine to give player mistakes. Some of that's on the coach. But I just don't know from a coaching perspective what he would have done different on a lot of those. And so I think a lot of people are getting fired up of a one-game reaction. I think that's overblown. I do think that it's fair to look at...
But, Tosh, it's not one game. It's 3 games. They've lost 3 in a row. One to an American Conference team, who was a BCS team last year and is good. And 2 to middle to upper part of the Mountain West Conference teams.
And if,
at home.
And if we're going to be fair, did we look good defensively against Houston? No. Did we look good defensively against Virginia?
No.
We haven't looked good defensively since the Texas game.
Yep.
We peaked in our second game of the year.
But wait a second, though. And against Texas, that was Swoop's first game of the year with their second game with an entirely new regime.
Yeah.
I mean, they were playing Tyrone Swoops in his first start ever as a Longhorn.
And the things that have killed us this year, they didn't even try. They didn't really throw any passes further than 10 yards.
Okay, so... So
where I'm at on Hal...
So you've told what you think will happen, that you don't think any ill effect will occur to Nick Hal. They're going to play this thing out. They've already lost games this year. The magical season's out the window. So they're going to keep him in.
Yeah.
Okay? I agree with you. And after the season, you think he loses his job, yes or no?
So here's maybe what will shock people. Do I think he will? The answer is no.
I don't think he will either.
If I, though, was Bronco, I think the answer would be yes. That either Bronco needs to start, I think Bronco needs to start calling the plays again, or else he needs to bring in a more experienced defensive coordinator.
So this leads us into number 3, fire Bronco, right? And this is how I want to begin the conversation about this. In Broncos, this is his 10th year, okay? He's yet to have any, in the previous 9 season, he never made it through a season without carrying 2 jobs as both head coach and defensive coordinator. There's a lot of responsibility with both of those jobs, and anytime we played another team, Broncos' one mind has had to be equal to that of the mind of the opposing team's head coach and also the opposing team's, I guess, offensive coordinator. Does that make sense?
Because that's who he's going against.
That's because he's going against.
Sure.
So he's got to be able to beat with his one mind whenever they play another team, both the head coach and the offensive coordinator by himself. Okay? And he did that for 8.5 seasons. And my thing is as you look at the history of the previous nine years, he started out the first year they had to figure it out and kind of work through some of the kinks, learn how to win on the road, things like this. Then things got really good, right? For 4 years, they were in the Mountain West Conference championship picture. They were winning 10 games a year. And they looked great, and it looked like this wonderful scenario, right? And then what's happened is as time has gone on, it's slowly deteriorating. And the returns on having one man work two of the three biggest jobs in the program have taken their toll. And I just feel that it's obvious that it's a huge load to give Bronco both head coach and defensive coordinator responsibilities. That's why he's tried to alleviate that twice now, because we're burning the candle at both ends when it comes to Bronco. Here's the thing. He coached 111 games as both head coach and defensive coordinator and won 81 of them. He beat the two guys on the other side by himself 81 of those 111 games. So he's brilliant. That means he's a brilliant coaching mind. It also means he's a freaking workhorse. And so my thing is like, if you've got a brilliant workhorse on your football team and he's a good football mind, and beyond that, he represents your university the perfect way, the exact way that you want it to have to be, don't you figure out how to keep that guy around as long as you can?
You would hope so. With your argument there.
So, yeah. So because of that, then, that's why they won't get rid of Nick Howell. And it's not a possibility for him to go back and be just the defensive coordinator. And it's not a long-term solution to have him be both head coach and defensive coordinator. So if you try to make him do both, or if you think that his value is only when he does both, then I think a decision needs to be made about that. Because you can't. That's not a long-term solution.
So here's where I'm at.
So I would let Bronco go. I would move on. If you think he's only valuable as both head coach and defensive coordinator, it's time to move on.
I think that in order for Bronco to have Bronco magic and his genius, his strengths, in order to play to Bronco's strengths, is to have him to be as much a part of the defense as possible.
Right.
He is a defensive genius. He is able to motivate defensive players. He's able to get them to buy in, even using Bronco words. He's able to get them to execute, to play.
Spirit.
Yeah, position mastery.
Tradition.
Yeah, you know, he's
honor.
That is, Bronco is great at that on the defensive side of the ball. The further that he steps away from that, the more he marginalizes and takes away from
what
his ability to help this football team.
Mm.
What would help him and make it possible is if he was able to bring in dynamic coordinators. My only strong complaint about
so
Bronco.
Do you think a dynamic coordinator?
He's one notch below that. I think he's a good coordinator. He's not dynamic.
So let's say there's 128 teams, okay?
Yeah.
Where does he rank amongst the 128 offensive coordinators in college football right now?
In the 30s.
Oh, so he's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is kind of fun. I haven't thought of it this way. If we were doing Howell in that same, I would have a hard time arguing that Howell should be in the top half.
No, and he's not.
I would say 60s or 70s.
He's not. But it takes time to work some of that stuff out, and that's the point.
I think Hal has potential. I like his passion. Yeah. I think that a lot of his concepts aren't bad. I just don't like the fact that we're going through this process when we should be having magical seasons.
Right.
Yeah, it's not all on him. So much of it's injuries, and that's why I think he's still going to be calling plays next year. Because I think there's enough reasons to give him a pass that he's going to be given a pass. I guess back to Bronco, though. I just wish that Bronco was the personality type that he could – I don't know if it's coaches don't want to or he doesn't reach out, but he doesn't bring in great coordinators. And you look at all the top programs around the country. If you look at even Lavelle, if you look at who we think of has had great head coaching careers, all of those guys had great coordinators.
Yep.
Coordinators that other teams steal away
right.
to be head coaches, to give advancements. BYU does not have that. No one steals away our coordinators.
Right.
No one. We have not brought.
Well, and we've only promoted from within.
Yes.
I don't know where Jaime Hill is now, but he certainly isn't at a high profile spot, no. right? But I know where Norm Chow is. He's sucking it up in Hawaii. But before that, he did a good job at USC. I just think in South Carolina. I just think that he. I think you make a great point. Is how come every time we go get a coordinator, it's an advancement within?
With someone usually with no experience at right. that position,
right?
And
it worked when we brought in Anai. We brought him from Texas Tech, and that worked. He had yeah. experience.
That's my criticism.
So maybe it's promotion from within. That's the problem. Nick Howell, he could have been great, but let's send him out to UTEP or Rice or something and let him go cut his teeth somewhere else.
Have him be the offensive coordinator at SUU for a few years.
Right.
Like, I just don't.
Defensive, but yeah.
Yeah, or offensive. You know, that's either way would be a help. But yeah, the guy just didn't, I don't feel like, take the steps needed. And I am not a guy that's going to point to that he didn't play. I think that's a silly argument.
No.
There's so many dynamic coaches that didn't play at the college level. So right. That's not even part of it.
The same guy that makes that argument is really excited about, you know, guys that, like, I was going to say Quinn Snyder, but it just occurred to me he played in college.
Yeah.
The point, I guess, my thing is Jeff Van Gundy, yeah. Right? Bill Belichick.
Even. Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
Yep. Totally.
I know I use two different sports, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, though. And, like, I think the best offensive mind in college right now is Washington State.
Leach.
He never played. And so,
I think he was it.
Played rugby.
Oh, you're right. he got me.
And so, anyway, that's where we're at. You know, I don't want anyone to take we're on the fire Bronco crowd or fire any of the coordinators. But we're just, I think, giving a realistic picture and really giving real.
So that's what I think. And this is the whole thing that if you're on the demote or get rid of Howell and Bronco goes back, right? I don't see any productive. I don't see anything productive about that scenario. I just think it maybe helps things this year. I don't think it helps things next year. You know, things have constantly kind of slowly got worse with Bronco being both of that. And it's just because, he's getting burned out.
It's like you're dating somebody, you meet someone else, and you try to talk your current girlfriend into, hey, let's just go back to before where we just date occasionally. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
like,
you can't go backwards. And for the people that say, theory. Like, oh, we'll just pay a ton of money and make him just be the defensive coordinator again. It's like, nah. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
So I just think if you think that he's only – that's the real question. If he's only valuable to the school, if he's both head coach and defensive coordinator, right, in my opinion, I think that means it's time to move on. I think he can be of value as just head coach. But he's got to learn how to do that too.
We've got – I mean, if we keep losing, we're going to have more of these discussions. I don't want to go this whole down, but
yeah.
You also have to go with the talk of some point of at any of these positions, who would we bring in? Like that has to be part of the mindset, and I'm not sure. We can talk about that another day if we have
or
to.
Or who's
hopefully
reasonable.
We don't have to, yeah.
We'll only talk about that once we have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I just think slow your roll a little bit, understand the scenario a little bit, think about it. And I just think that there isn't a whole lot of thought. It's just, we've lost three in a row. Three losses, Tosh. Oh, my gosh. You know,
yep.
Four straight games of 30-plus points. That hasn't happened in 21 years. Oh, my gosh. You know, And it's frustrating. It's frustrating, and
we don't, we're not used to losing at home.
And I also think, there's the element of the gut punch. You know, four straight wins, things were looking so great, right? We were the most likely team to run the table in all of college football, according to the numbers, and then we freaking lost three in a row. So I just think that that's part of it. All right, so I think that that's, you know, I think that they have to make some choices about that and kind of begin thinking on those terms. Okay, let's get to the Boise State game. Now, is this sort of the new rival for BYU? What do you think?
I'm not ready to make it that, but it's approaching.
We're playing them every year.
If we look at our schedule, I mean, they're a step above just a normal game.
Sure.
And I think because we are as close as we are in proximity, we're neighboring states. There's a lot of BYU fans in Idaho.
Right.
But yeah, I think that it's in that stage that it could become what I would call a rivalry.
All right, you think they're more of a rivalry or less of one than Utah State?
Less.
Okay. All right, Tosh. We put out on the Twitter machine, on the Twitter, we put out if anyone had questions. So we're going to rip through those real quick. This is from Michael Burr, and his Twitter handle is at HammerHits.
Cool.
So I guess he's just a huge fan of like
MC,
Too Legit, Don't Quit.
Yeah.
The Addams Family rap.
I'm not familiar with that one.
And maybe You Can't Touch This.
Yeah.
You should look up the Addams Family rap. So his question, this is Michael Burr, Mr. at Hammer Hits with a Z even. So, you know, Hammer, don't hurt him. How much are we going to lose by this week, Tosh? That's his question. He also asks, how many players are going to have an ankle injury? And I'm going to spice that up a little bit, right? Okay, the amount of points we lose by, right? Which one is going? Which one's going to be more, right? The amount of points we lose by, or the amount of ankle injuries we accrue?
I don't even want to go there. The funny thing on this question is that it really shows where we're at as a fan base right now.
Yep.
Such a punch to the gut. I think that if we're going to be real, we'll give our score predictions at the end. But on the ankle injuries, you'd be crazy to think
there's going to be at least one.
Yeah.
And we're on turf, man, and that stuff eats ankles.
Here's a couple quick thoughts on maybe why. Is maybe go fast, go hard in practice is putting just too many plays, a lot more plays on these guys than a normal team's used to. Maybe it is a strength and conditioning thing. Maybe it's the fact that we practice on a different type of turf than we play on. I'm just throwing out ideas. There's got to be some reason why we have so many more ankle injuries than any football team I've ever heard of in the history of the game.
Well, can't the answer be dumb luck?
It could be, but that doesn't make me sleep better at night. Okay, like I gotta figure something out.
I just think some seasons just go wrong, man.
You could be right.
That's just the way it is. I mean, I just think that happens. All right, second one. Equally as negative. This is from a guy who calls himself Blue Man.
Okay.
And
I saw him. He's always at the games wearing that suit.
at Mark Jenkins one. Mark Jenks one. Mark okay. With a C, not with a K.
All right.
Assuming that Friday is a loss, what chance is there of a win at Middle Tennessee State?
We will win. Like, we have three guaranteed victories.
Give them a number, man. Chances.
95%.
All right. Middle Tennessee's been okay this year.
Yeah, but they're not. The thing is, the teams that we've lost to, they would all just run Mid-Tennessee State out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Nevada's not bad. UCF's not bad.
Even Utah State looks like they're putting it together.
They're getting a little better.
Yeah. All right. So, well, let's – so, Tosh, maybe we should we even talk about what Boise State brings to the table, or yes. Is it just a loss?
No, I mean, the fans think it's a guaranteed loss, it appears, and it's a weird place we're at.
So, I don't think – listen, BYU has a chance to win this game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a great chance. I don't think – you know, I don't think they're going to win, right? Like, percentage-wise, like,
okay.
I don't think they're going to win. just there's bad mojo for the Cougars on that blue turf. They just don't seem to pull out games there for whatever reason. And
it's something like they've only lost two out of the last like 50 games.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic at home, and also BYU, when they've been up there, have been in some really close games and have had bad kicking and bad luck when they went for two, and they've had just kind of wild things happen when they've been up there. So it's just a tough venue to play, but it's not just the venue, and it's not just the blue turf and the dead birds that fly onto it who think that it's a lake. It is a good football team. And according to Jeremy Moss, he listened to the show last week. He's the managing editor at on SB Nation on MWCConnection.com. He wanted to correct us. He wanted to assure me that Boise State was better than Nevada. Okay? Wanted me to understand Boise State is a better team than Nevada.
All right. Well, this Friday we'll find out, you know, because back-to-back games.
So
they are a very different team than Nevada. The thing that they have kind of gone away from the pass attack lately because their quarterback, Grant Hedrick, has thrown for a lot of yards this year, right, over 1,800, but he has more picks than he's had touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's had, you know, 10 interceptions to 8 touchdowns. So the last couple of games especially, they've been dialing him back and running.
He didn't have a great game in Provo last year, but Jay Ajayi, he's a player.
Yeah. I think that if you look at their roster, he's the standout NFL guy, in my mind, on their team.
I mean, he's excellent. He's had a huge year. He's been flirting with record books with how well he's been doing. I mean, he's just been
But then, oddly,
fantastic.
That this week's matchup is going to be, can our defense stop the run?
Yeah, and I think they've been really physical in their running as well. And I just think the offensive line at the point of attack has done a really nice job for Boise. So one of the places that Boise State has been weak offensively this year is they are turning the ball over a lot. They've turned it over 17 times. It's third worst nationally.
Yeah.
Their only games where they've lost two games this year, and the reason that they've lost those games has been because of turnovers. Okay, they've been absolutely killed with turnovers. They've had a negative turnover margin in both of their losses. Anytime they've been at zero or positive, they've won. They've turned the ball over four plus times, so over four times in their losses. So defense is going to have to make big plays against this this offense, and it looks like it's available if they can make it happen. Hedrick is he's willing to throw up an interception ball.
Yeah. No, he'll throw a couple picks in a game. It's not that uncommon for him this year. The more exciting part of the game, that's really going to be the matchup where I think where the game's won or lost, is going to be if we can stop their running attack.
Right.
The part that I think as a BYU fan is going to be fun is the other side of the ball. Can our passing attack continue to put up video game yards like right. we did last game?
Yeah, and I you know, over 600 yards was fantastic. I mean, that doesn't happen all that often. And they did such a nice job on the offensive side of the ball. They just turned the ball over. You know, 35 points on 600 yards of total offense is the ninth lowest point total for a team since the year 2000 when they have gained 600 yards of total offense. So that's a huge problem. You know, they didn't get enough points on the board, and that had to be because of turnovers.
Yeah.
Most teams that, you know, have gotten over 600 yards, I looked this up statistically, the median of teams that get over 600 yards of total offense, they score 55 points. Cougars are only able to put up 35. And that speaks to three turnovers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was what the difference was for that offense.
That stat really kind of jumps out to me.
Yeah, it's just point production. They just got to get more points.
And we
on
had
board.
That same issues last year, you know. And
but it wasn't red zone, Tosh, because they were perfect in the red zone. So it's I don't know. It was really interesting.
I think some of that's on our defense that we need to. Our defense is not giving our offense short fields.
Yeah, they're not forcing big plays.
No.
Yeah.
And but you know, that's a big enough problem stat that I think there's enough blame to spread around.
Yeah, it's an entire team problem. That second half, everybody played horrible, right, against Nevada. Like, it wasn't just the defense that melted down. I mean, everybody melted down. Special teams melted down. Offense, defense. It was just everything was bad. So yeah, like you said, I just think that. I think that the offense, though, how fun was it? I just thought it was so fun to watch. Now, it was more fun when we were winning games, but, man, it's fun to watch Christian Stewart kind of sling it around. And the other thing is another thought I had, Tosh, was, gosh, we miss Cody Hoffman.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gosh, he's good.
And that's the one.
There were times where I thought, why didn't Jordan Leslie lay out for that thing?
Jordan Leslie's a good receiver, but he's no Cody Hoffman.
No, sir. No.
And how we need to just remember next year when we're hyping ourselves in the offseason about some new players.
Right.
That we were so hyped about our receiving core. The receiver that's dominating this year is the guy that we already had, Mitch Matthews.
Right. Right. Yeah, no. And I think that it's just been an interesting. Gosh, it's been interesting. But, man, it is fun to watch Christian Stewart sling that ball around. We don't know about injuries at this point, right? But we could only hope that Jamal is back and available.
Yeah, but that's – we need him.
If not, then we're at Lasique and Nate Carter.
Not to give excuses, but I'll give excuses anyway. I feel like that the last several games would have been different if we would have had old Jamal Williams back there running the ball.
I absolutely agree. I agree with that a lot. Okay, and then the last part of Boise State that I wanted to kind of get into is they're great on special teams in terms of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't yet allowed a kickoff return of over 30 yards this year. Okay, they're number one in the country in that stat.
Hmm.
They've only allowed one punt return for over 20 yards this year, and that puts them.
Hopefully we have Hine back, because I'd love to see that battle if he could get one over 30, because he averages about 30.
Right, right. And so I just think it's going to be kind of an interesting thing, because field position as well in that scenario off of punt return, which we're awful at, and also on kickoff return, which we're good at. But Boise State's done a nice job this season limiting people on kickoff and punt returns. So I don't really see special teams as a place for BYU to make a difference in this game. It is going to have to be big plays by that defense against Grant Hedrick. And if they can give BYU a couple short fields and bail out Christian Stewart, you know, they did a good job against UCF when they got short fields. They scored. And they've done a nice job in the red zone with Christian Stewart. And so if we can create some really nice, easy opportunities, that's really going to help BYU. So I'm with you. I think this game is won by the defense making a few key plays.
Yeah. No, that's we're going to need some of those things to go our way this game.
All right, and now it's time for the segment that everybody loves. Ten for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, this isn't simply what your opinion is.
This is fact.
This is fact. Question one, 20 yards difference on the season between the two of them. Which wide receiver is better, Mitch Matthews or Jordan Leslie?
They're very, very different. But I would go with Mitch Matthews at this point. Like, the guy, I think, runs better routes, and the biggest thing is that he catches balls in the clutch, where Leslie has had some really surprising pivotal drops this year at the worst times possible.
Yes, the pop
Utah
the ball
State.
Up to the Utah State guy. Yeah, okay, all right, I'm on board. Mitch Matthews. Question number two, Boise State hasn't allowed, and I just mentioned this, but hasn't allowed a single kickoff return for over 30 yards this season. Will BYU break a 30-yard kickoff return?
Yes. And as BYU fans are now looking for different things to cheer for during the season,
oh yeah,
this is the one, this game. Now I'm really going to be dialed in at every kickoff return. I think that we do have one that's over 30.
Question number three. Boise State is 11th nationally in turnovers forced. They have forced 17 of them this year. BYU has generously turned the ball over 9 times over the course of the last 3 games. How many BYU turnovers will there be on Friday night?
Only one. I think that...
Fumble or pick?
Stewart will fumble it once. He's going to be really focused on not fumbling, but he's still going to fumble once, no picks.
You know, that's one of the problems that they have right now, that Christian Stewart has, is like, with the injuries to other guys and maybe Mitch Matthews becoming a playmaker, but at the end of the day, the guy that has to make plays for the BYU offense if they're going to score points and win is Christian Stewart.
He's carrying a lot of the percentage of our offense.
And the guy has only had 10 quarters to put it together.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's difficulty in anything. And by the way, I think he's been very good.
He's been playing hard.
I like him.
I agree. I just wish he had more playmakers around him that were healthy to help him. But no one, if you notice, no one's faulted him this whole show. We like old Christian Stewart.
All right, 3 games after losing Taysom Hill, Taysom still leads the team in rushing, also in passing. Will somebody pass him this game in both rushing and passing?
You know, that's crazy. He's been
Christian
out 3
Stewart's
games.
Like 200 yards.
Christian
behind.
Stewart will pass him in passing this game.
Okay, what about rushing?
No. I think even if Jamal plays, that Taysom will still lead the team in rushing even after this next game. I don't think Jamal's going to go from not playing to just having like a breakout game. I think he's about 80 yards behind, and I don't see him catching him this game.
It's very indicative of how important he was to this team.
Yeah.
Question number 5. Who has more passing yards, Christian Stewart or Grant Hedrick?
Christian Stewart. Like, that guy, he chucks the ball around, and Grant, they're going away. I think that Boise, as the season goes on, has gotten more nervous about throwing it with Grant, and we're the opposite. We're finding the way we're driving is by throwing it with Stewart.
All right. Number 6, under or over 100 Jay Ajayi rushing yards?
I'm going to go under.
This is good. That's a good sign for the Cougars, unless Waller goes crazy.
A BYU defense, you know, and this year has been a little bit different. We have a new coordinator. But in the past, if BYU focuses on stopping one thing, they're great at it. And so I feel like that we really dial in to stop the run and that that's not where they beat us.
Question number 7, how many short fields, 50 yards or less, will Boise State have on Friday?
2. One off of a fumble and one off of... We give up... Every game, there's some huge return off a special teams return that we give up. And so they'll have 2 inside of our territory.
Fun stat on that. Cougars have given... their opponents have had a short field on 17.6% of all their drives this year. That means the Cougars are the 10th worst team in terms of most drives faced in short field scenarios. So that explains some of the defensive woes.
Exactly.
Okay, how about in terms of points? Question number 8. In BYU's only game on turf this season, they defeated Texas 41-7. Is BYU a better team on turf than grass?
You know, typically turf helps fast teams. And I think to start this year, we were a fast team.
Uh-huh.
We were a fast defense. That I think our injuries have taken away our fast players. Uh-huh. And so I don't think that the turf's really going to help us, no.
So you don't think we're going to win by 34?
The greatest show on turf is what they'll start calling BYU, just because we're a totally different team on turf. That would be funny, but no, I don't see it.
Okay, question 9. How many references to blue turf do the ESPN announcers have on Friday night?
A ton. I'm going to put it at 8+.
8+. So if I did... Okay, 8+.
Go a little throwing something in here. How many times do they talk about Christian Stewart, the young quarterback? Are you, if you watch the ESPN, which I understand why they're calling him young, but the dude's the oldest young quarterback in probably all of college football.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. He's the oldest young quarterback against the biggest little team in college football. Okay, anyway. All right, and question 10, what is Saturday morning's headline?
I hate this saying this one, but this one is going to be the headline Saturday morning that Mendenhall is out Broncoed in Boise.
Ooh, that's better. I thought you were going to say Cougars bucked by Broncos.
No, no.
Out Broncoed.
Too easy.
Out Broncoed.
Yep.
All right, 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. And now, Tosh, and I think that there's going to be a lot of people who won't need your help with this, right? But it's time for us to find out our reason to hate the Boise State Broncos. Tosh, why do we hate Boise State?
Okay, so this one, I had plenty to choose from. There's lots of people that hate them because of their blue turf.
The blue uniforms and the blue turf are what I find annoying. Which they'll get to use because it's not a Mountain West Conference game.
You could make an argument that they are the most arrogant or obnoxious fan base.
That we have to interact with on a relative basis.
But neither of those bother me that much, and I'm going to have to open up my heart and my real
vulnerability.
Expose myself here. The reason that I hate Boise is because in my lifetime, I was born in 84, so I don't remember that season. In my lifetime, I have been chasing as a fan that undefeated season, and it has eluded me, and it has pained me. And during that time, a trucker school in Boise emerges and has multiple undefeated years.
Yeah.
Like that, there's a jealousy factor. There's whatever you want to call it, but that is my reason to hate of how have they done it and we can't in the last 30 years.
Mine, if I can add one, is the Boise State fans that I'm friends with on Facebook, they revel in BYU losses.
Yes.
And I don't know any BYU person who was like, how great was it when Boise got their butt kicked by Mississippi or Air Force?
Yeah, no. But I think we want them to win, so this game would be a bigger matchup. Like, but yeah, that's a good point.
So anyway, you're just being jealous.
Yes. Yep.
All
the
right.
Jaded lover.
The Jaded Lover. That sounds like an F. Scott Fitzgerald novel. Tosh, one of the best parts of being a BYU fan is that you have the perspective that it's not just about what happens on the field. And even though we spent 20 minutes taking away the livelihood from our coaches, we also realize it's not just about what happens on the field. And this week, there's going to be a fireside up in the state of Idaho, and Bronco's going to be speaking at that fireside, and I have a source who's let me know what that fireside talk is going to be titled. Bronco will stand at the pulpit, and he'll say, this week, the title of my talk is Four Games of Feast, Four Games of Famine.
That's not a good omen, but I mean, he's got to be real with his talks, right?
Yeah, he's, you know, you are in the spirit of truth.
I wonder, is that going to be really like a food storage based talk? Or?
Yeah, maybe it's addressing a drought that he's gone in while playing Hi-Ho Cheerio against his kids. Okay. Okay, Boise State, for me, is going to be a very difficult game. I was worried about this game before the season began. This is one of the games that we were going to measure the season on. And I think it still is that way. And I think, though, that I'm going to be less harsh if they lose this game just based on how everything has turned out this season. But I don't see it. I just think that Christian Stewart, as I mentioned before, is being relied on to be the playmaker, the guy for this team. And he doesn't have the dynamic running back behind him. He's missing two of his offensive linemen, right? His receivers are decent, right? Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to be better. He's got to be the best offensive player on this team. And he's just going to be limited in that way. And so because of that, I just see, and then funky things happening in Boise, you know, blocked punts, return for touchdowns, things like this. They happen up there. We lost last time because we had a pick six.
Wasn't it their nose tackle had a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So just goofy things happen up there. And so because of that, I've got to predict that Boise State's going to win this game. And I think that it's going to be ugly. I think Boise State 45, BYU 24.
Okay, if those of you who listen to the show regularly will know that I always pick BYU to win. This season, I have picked in on this show BYU to win in my prediction every single week. This week, though, if we field the same guys, if we don't have different guys returning from injuries, which at this point there's been no word about if anybody's returning this week, that I am not that confident. And what's crazy is last time we were there, our defense gave up 0 points.
Right.
That this time I'm feeling in a whole different place defensively. I think that our defense gives up 35 points. I actually think it's going to be a close game, that Christian Stewart's going to be able to toss the ball around, have another great passing game, but that we lose another heartbreaker, and that it's BYU scores 28, the Boise State Broncos 35. The other side of it is that, you know, I've been wrong 3 weeks in a row. So part of me, hopefully I'm wrong again and we win. But if I'm going to be real, I go BSU 35, BYU 28.
To all of the BYU fans making the drive up to Boise, be safe, and I'm sorry.
And let's win, you know. Let's get this bad taste out of our mouths. Let's get some happier questions from Twitter, although we love everyone's questions.
We love everyone's questions. Sad questions,
but let's get some wins. Holy smokes.
Yeah, and by the way, BYU's been better on the road than they've been at home this year.
That is true.
So maybe I'm being wrong about this, but there's my glimmer of hope for you. I hope you enjoy the games. Tosh, last word?
Let's stop their run. That's our chance.
Thank you for listening to Cougar Cast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!